Welcome to the Krasloft interview series on the Krasloft Vinyl Show. This week's interview features an in-depth conversation and the music of Frenchman Frank Carducci. Frank and his fantastic squad were the headliners at Fusion 5 on Saturday, March 2nd, and brought down the house in Stourport with a high-energy artistic set. Buzz Elliott and I sat down with Frank before his set and talked about the band and his special brand of performance art rock.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Fusion 5. I'm Alan Kraslow from Progzilla Radio, and I've got my good partner in crime, Buzz Elliott. Buzz, when's your show on?
It's on the Tuesdays on Progzilla at 6 p.m. till 9 p.m.
And that is GMT, at least
right now.
And this gentleman, if you watch the stream 2 years ago, we talked for about 15, 20 minutes. And I'm happy to tell you I got Frank Carducci here, who is going on right after Pearl Handle Revolver.
Exactly.
How you been, Frank?
Very good, very busy.
Tell me about it.
So since last time we talked, so it was 2 years ago, right here, everybody's asking for a new album, of course. So I wrote a new album, but it's not ready yet. It's not recorded because we're touring like crazy. But in the meantime, I released a live album that was recorded last year from the previous tour. And this live album is called The Answer Live.
Because I played The Answer on my show.
Exactly, it's the album that was released so just before COVID. So everything was delayed by 2 years.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else, I guess. So The Answer Live was released last year. And I also did something that Mary's the singer that sings in my band. And she's been pushing me to do that, which is record an acoustic album. And oh boy, it's so hard because you feel naked, you know, because I'm playing, you know, these long songs, you know, 10, 15 minute songs with all kind of arrangements and solo here and Hammond organ and piano and guitar and stuff. And suddenly you're alone with an acoustic guitar and two vocals, or just a piano and a vocal. So I felt naked doing it, but it was the right challenge. And so we recorded this with all songs that were released in my previous albums, but just like this, and we called the album Naked.
So was that inspired by, you know, when you did the shows, you used to finish the show with an acoustic track?
Yes.
We still do that. Was that kind of part of the inspiration to doing the
Yeah, album? Well, not really, because this was written like that.
Right.
It was meant to be like that.
Okay, yeah.
Whereas now we played all long songs like Artificial Paradises, Slave to Rock and Roll, Alice's Eerie Dream, but just with a guitar and a little percussion here and two vocals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good challenge. And I'm also a big fan of, you know, American folk music from the 60s, like Simon & Garfunkel,
yeah.
Crosby, Stills and Nash,
nice.
And things, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, let's try to do that. But it was very challenging because I could not hide behind all these arrangements, you know.
Keyboards and effects.
Exactly. So these two albums were released. So the live album with the Squall and the Naked album were released last year, which gave me an extra time for the next proper studio album.
So you're already thinking two ahead.
Well,
working on one and thinking what's fine.
Yeah, because, you know, the problem is The Answer was released end of 2019.
Right.
And there was COVID. So everything was delayed by like almost 2 years. So then when we met last time, it was 2022.
Right.
It was the beginning of The Answer tour. But it was already almost 2 years and a half since it was released. But
right,
for us,
right.
The beginning, because nothing happened in between.
Now
it's 4 years and a half. And everybody's like, when is the next album? When is the next album coming? When is the next album coming? I'm like, yeah, I should stop.
You have to stop touring.
Exactly.
To do that.
And I can't do that.
And I was going to say, from the United States.
I'm a touring animal, I can't.
Yeah. From the United States, I'm on your Facebook page. I'm watching, like, tomorrow, he has to be down in Southampton.
Yes.
Ready to gig. So
yes.
That's why, luckily, you're getting to talk to Frank before he's going onto the stage.
When you, like, the album that you're working towards, like say the next one, your shows are very theatrical. So when you write the material, like, are you sort of envisaging the kind of stuff?
Well,
you
this
do
one might be a bit darker because I wrote it three or four years ago during COVID. I didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
So I was writing
so
songs.
Garden famous to things, yeah.
Exactly. So might be a little bit less gay or a little bit less optimistic.
Yeah.
But I think
there's
some
still theatrical. Songs.
Yes, yeah. Of course. And big stories and.
Well, and that's the beauty of what you do is people know it's not a concert where they come to listen to. They're going, it's like going
show.
To the theater.
Yeah.
They're going to
yeah,
the
they
show,
call
Broadway
they're
show.
Show. They call it theatrical rock.
But which is the advance of art rock, which is where, you know, the Peter Gabriel grew out of art rock into performance.
Yeah, exactly. And my influences, they're like, you know, so early Genesis, but also David Bowie, Alice Cooper, that kind of artists, you know, who really put on a show, not just the music.
Yeah.
Like I always say, if it's just about the music, people are better off staying on their couch, you know, comfortably sitting and listening to their stereo, you know, listening to the album.
If you want the full show, you've got to see.
Exactly. If they're going to come, buy a ticket, come out, you've got to give them more than just music.
Yeah.
That's, at least that's what I think.
The first time I met you 2 years ago, everybody was saying, oh, you don't know who Frank Carducci is? Because I'm stuck in that little box called America that is not very progressive. And everybody said, oh, just wait for this. Nobody told me. Everybody said, just wait for the show. It's more than just listening to music. And it's a story.
Yeah, it's a story. And a lot of fun. For me, fun is very important.
With something like that, it's very hard to beat the first time you see it, because the first time you aren't expecting it, you know.
You don't know what to expect.
So when all the things come along, like the wings and everything else, the makeup,
the lasers,
and everything, it's just like, wow, it's just too much to take in, you know what I mean?
It was like when I saw Mary and the theremin, I sat there and went, I want to marry that woman.
I'll tell her.
I've never seen anybody do that in such a way. It's sexual, but non-sexual at the same time.
It's a mix of sensuality and humor and you know, all kind of things. But most of all, it has to be fun.
Yeah.
Because the most important for me is not even the music, it's giving the people a good time.
Now,
I want the people to have a good time, I want to give them a good time, I want to have a good time.
The whole band looks like that.
That's how I hired them.
You were talking about some influences before, but is there anybody, if you could pick somebody who you'd like to work with, collaborate with, who would be like a hero, who would you like to...
Obviously Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
I guess he's the ultimate rock star you'd want to collab with. But there's lots of. And I heard that Robert Plant, I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan, Robert Plant lives nearby.
He's from here.
He's in this area. Yeah, I was lucky. I visited Guildford, Surrey Hills.
Studio.
And that's Brian May.
Yeah.
From Queenless. Yeah. Beautiful house down there.
Yeah, nice.
I got to tell you, I know without a doubt, this guy would be a hit in the USA because you bridge rock and roll to prog. Give it a little, and then all of a sudden, here's a song that's all prog.
Yeah.
Alice's
Eardrink. Yeah, that's the thing, you know. A lot of people, they come to a show because they heard about us, and they're like, I'm not even a rock fan. I don't even know what prog rock is. I hardly listen to rock and roll, but we like your show because so many things going on, and they're like having a good time, and they only listen to pop music.
Right. And so you're able to bring people that like rock music over to the prog side.
Yeah, because
you bring
also
the prog people to rock.
Exactly. One of my big influences is a band called Supertramp.
That's
what they do.
Right.
Supertramp. They have these long prog tracks, but also some very accessible thing that
that's the word.
Would appeal to anybody, not just rock fans.
Yeah.
So if the melody is good, then it's going to work.
I'm convinced if a band like yours, say got a slot on something like a Jules Holland show, for example, overnight you'd be like a household name the next day. From when there's so many people say it used to be the same with the old Grey Whistle Test.
Badge on that.
Whistle Test.
Yeah.
It's the same
thing. It doesn't exist anymore.
So the BBC stopped making that. And you think, why would they do that? You know, it's such a fantastic. And because it was a platform for bands like yourself, there's so many great bands about, you need a sort of little bit to make that leap. To the general public.
I don't know how it works. I'm so bad with the business side of things.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I could sign somewhere to go to Jules Holland show, I would go right away. You know?
Speaking of the business side, let's talk about your website, how people can get your music, Facebook.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be very modern, and we are basically everywhere. So you can find us on Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, because do everything.
Right.
Apple Music, YouTube.
Where's the best place to buy your music on your web? You sell it directly off your website.
Not directly, but through shows. So it depends where you're located. If you're in the UK, you're going to buy it from Burning Shed, which is, for instance.
Right.
If you're in France, there's another site in France. If you're in America, there is one shop that distributes it. It's also on Amazon, but it's more.
Can they go to your website direct and purchase it? Which is obviously, as you all know, is the best thing to do because that's when the artists get their share, their fair share.
If you can't find the right shop, you just drop me a message. I always try to answer all the message I get. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but send me a message either on Facebook or wherever you can find me, and I'll point you in the right direction.
What was, if I was looking for the band page on Facebook?
Frank Alucci.
Oh, it's just under your name,
right? Frank Alucci, because the albums were released on my name.
Okay.
The band arrived after the album.
Excellent.
Excellent. You should specify the spelling on that as well.
Yes. F-R-A-N-C-K. And Carducci is an Italian name. C-A-R-D-U-C-C-I.
Of excitement.
There was a little issue with a gig at the Robin, I think, wasn't there?
Two sites said somebody spelled it wrong.
So they spelled it wrong.
Two tickets, one with the franc with the C, one for the franc without the C. Not knowing I was the same person.
And they cancelled the gig out.
They hadn't realised there was enough tickets sold because of a little bit wrong.
The one from the promoter, who's there, Ken, was spelled properly. So everybody booked there because they know how to spell my name. And the one from the venue was misspelled without the C. And they only sold like maybe 8 tickets there. And then they say, we're cancelling because there's 8.
Yeah.
And then the time to figure out what was going on, it was too late. And there was like 100 people who booked on the other side. And some people showed up. They didn't even get the information that the show was canceled. They showed up at the venue and there was nobody.
That's why I said specify this building. Just to make sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Don't that happen again.
I am a fan of Leah. I'm in. Drummer. Yes. Yeah. Talk a little bit about her. This is a drummer, Leah Fernandez.
Leah Fernandez. Well, she's the star of the band. Actually, everybody loves her. She's got this huge smile on her face all the time when she's banging the drums like crazy. So you know, the anecdote is she's a very shy person.
Yes.
And I talked to her. At first, because I was introduced to her by a common friend, and she said, I'm looking for a drummer, but we're going to need to be traveling a lot in the UK, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, I'm interested. She was so shy, I could hardly hear her voice, you know. And then we talked a little bit, and then she said, yeah, I would like to do the audition.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was like, okay. And then the more I chatted with her, the more I thought, no, this is not going to work. She's too shy, and I don't want someone who's going to be, you know, timid behind the drums, you know?
She's a beast behind the drums.
Tell me about it. So I auditioned Bart, the guitar player, and I knew him already, and I knew he was going to do the job, so I put up an audition for him, and then I told Leah to come. So I said, okay, at least I give her a chance.
Give her a shot.
I know it's not going to work with her, but I give her a chance, because I know she's dressed up like a princess, and I know she's going to be hitting the drums like that, you know? And it's fine with me, but it's just not what I want, you know?
But to be fair,
give her a shot. So I told her to come the same day as Bob, and we start the audition. So what we do, I said, we do Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll.
Yeah,
it's very easy to do.
Good stuff.
And she started banging the drum intro, you know, like crazy, you know. After maybe like 30 seconds, I knew she was hired.
Yeah.
I knew. I know I'm not going to hire her, but I'm just going to give her a chance to do the audition. It's good for her. I know it's not going to work for me. After 30 seconds, I knew it was her.
It just shows first impressions are not always correct.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Right?
Exactly.
But, I was amazed watching her. She made me open my eyes. She's smiling all the time. That was no big deal.
It's easy to see her. She's smiling all the time. It looks like she...
Yeah.
With a show like what you do, Frank, does it take a long time for the rehearsals to get that show home to how you're happy with it?
So what we do, we rehearse before the tour, and we try new things, we change things over, and then when we start touring, we don't really rehearse anymore because we play a lot.
Yeah.
So, but you're road warriors. That's what we call you in America, road warriors. Yeah, I understand. I understand you stayed at Fran and
Andy's
house the other night.
We stay at Fran's most of the night because it saves money and makes the tour.
Which is also part of this community
we're all in. It's like family.
Everybody
here in the
helps
UK, it's like family. So yeah, we're touring quite a lot. So in the UK, we've been touring for a long, long time already because it's our 12th UK tour. Been touring quite a lot in Germany, Spain, France. So in France, not very rock and roll, but like you said, we're not only rock and roll. We kind of, you know, attract people from everywhere.
Right.
And 2 years ago, so it was a little bit after we met, it was 2022, but during summer, I was offered to open for Sting. You know that guy?
Sting. He came from
a phone call you want.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that from a band called The Cops or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. So basically, there was a lady who happened to, by chance, be at one of our shows because she was going to see a theater play at the first floor where we were playing, and then she came down, and then she came to see and said, oh, I want to do something for you guys. Well, I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. And then I don't hear from her for like 3 months, and I'm not even thinking about her. And then I'm in New York, I'm in America, visiting my cousin, And so it's like, I wake up there. So when I wake up there in the morning, it was like early afternoon here in Europe.
Right.
I switch off my phone and I get a message. And I read the message and it says, "Hey Frank, it's Mary from the festival, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to open for Sting in June, blah, blah, blah?" So I'm like, you know, just waking up.
Message. Do you wear glasses?
Yeah. No. So I was like, you know, probably I'm still dreaming. So I switched off the phone, restarted switching on again, just to check, just to see if the message was still there. Then I go to my cousin and I said, "Can you read the same thing as I'm reading?" And she's like, "Ah!" So I'm like, "Yeah." So and then you've got to figure out how do you answer that kind of message. You know,
it's like, "Well, let me get back to you."
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah,
might be possible. I need to think about it.
Which would be
so anyway,
a wrong decision.
It was a huge outdoor festival, completely sold out, 15,000 people.
Nice.
And we arrived there in the afternoon, of course, and we asked if we have a sound check. But since we're the opening act, they say Sting has priority. At 6 o'clock, we open the doors to the people. So if Sting hasn't finished, you don't get a sound check.
Okay.
If Sting finishes at 5:30, you get half an hour. If he finishes at 5, you get an hour.
Okay. Roll the dice.
So we arrive there, we get backstage, so it's outdoors, so there's like a little village, you know, with
bikes right.
and stuff. And there's this guy in the middle, sitting, playing bass, and that's Sting. So you pretend not to be like starstruck, you know, and so you pretend you're looking somewhere else and you get a drink. And that guy is playing bass, like that bass. I'm telling you, and then he goes to do his sound check, so it's like 3 o'clock, so we want to get ready, so I tell my band, "Guys, maybe we won't have sound check, at least we need to, if we can only get 15 minutes, we need to be ready. I don't want to spend 15 minutes setting up if we get 15 minutes, so let's set up everything behind the stage now, and if we finish it earlier, we just go." So we try to, you know, put all the drums already
right.
up and things, and then he finishes quite early, so it's like 5 o'clock. And then, instead of going back to the backstage area, he comes behind the stage to us, and he's like, "Hello, I'm Sting. Hello, I'm Sting." So Mary fainted, because she loves him. And I'm like, "What do you say? What a stupid name," or something like that.
But it's kind of like...
"Oh, yeah, I know, something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, then he goes back to the dressing, to the like the small village. Backstage area, we do the sound check, we have more than enough time, so everything goes well. I go back there and he's sitting in the middle, nobody taking care of him, no manager, no bodyguard, nothing. He's playing bass
by himself, yeah,
just like that, you know. He's watching us a little bit, so we start doing our makeup and it's in the sun, you know, June, blah blah blah, and he's playing bass. And sometimes he gets up and he talks to a lady who's doing the catering and he's like, are you doing okay, and the lady's yeah. And then he picks, I'm telling you, he plays more bass in a day than I play in a year. He just loves playing bass. He's like playing the bass like that. And then we go and we do the show. And then we come back and he comes to me and say, "That was really, really a good show. How am I going to, really, you're a really tough act to follow. How am I going to do after that?" So I'm like, "Yeah, well, thanks for saying that." He could have said nothing.
Well, he probably didn't know much about you.
No, he didn't know anything about us.
And so he's thinking he's just getting a band. Yeah, no problem.
He said, "I didn't watch the whole thing because I got to get ready, but I listened to it and you guys put on an awful great show and it's going to be..."
You set the bar?
Yeah, he said it's going to be tough playing after you. So I said, "Probably you get no problem. There's 15,000 people that came just for you." But it was, yeah, we got a standing ovation. And then he came to us and we made pictures together and he was, you know, having fun with us. And such a nice bloke.
Yeah, he's another. I like his lyricism the most.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Lyrics are so important. Which brings me to a question I ask a lot of people: do you write the music first and then the lyrics, or lyrics and then the music?
No, music first, always. There's one exception. It's a song that's on The Answer. It's kind of a jazzy tune, and I wrote the lyrics first because I wrote it for my daughters. It's called The Game of Life, and then I didn't know what to do with this, so I took some piano chords, and then I hired a trumpet player, and just piano and trumpet and vocals, because this was really something I wrote for my daughter. But the rest, I always write the music, and then I'm like, what is it going to be about? And then I found the theme, what I'm going to talk about, and then I write the parts.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay, and it seems most of the musicians I'm talking to now It's not the Elton John. Hi, I'm Bernie. Yeah. I'm going to email this in to you and put some lyrics to it.
But I'd love to do that, but I don't know. No.
Hey, but you have. You said you did one.
Yes.
It's a different thought process.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the song, it's totally different to anything I've done next to that.
Okay, we've been talking with Frank Carducci.
Too much, too long.
No, but I know you've got, he doesn't have makeup on.
Not yet.
Which, nail polish, but that doesn't count because everybody has nail polish now.
But here in the UK.
I want to thank Frank so much for making time to come on by. Buzz Elliott, Frank Carducci. I'm the Kraz from Progzilla Radio. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank.
And I'll see you at the next interview.
Thank you, guys.
This has been the Krasloft interview series on Progzilla Radio. You've been listening to an interview and the music of the very talented Frank Carducci from this past March, recorded in Stourport, England at Fusion 5. A big thank you to my friend Frank Carducci, Fusion 5 promoter Steve Gould, along with Progzilla presenter Buzz Elliott, and you, the fans and lovers of progressive music. You're